sat on her bed.
"I'm Max Halloran," he said. "Inferno X."
She raised her eyebrows.
"Inferno X, eh? You must have done something remarkably dim to get yourself chucked in here early. I'm Diana Kovlakis, formerly of Hammerclaw K, now an incumbent of the home from home that is the Chronic Neural Trauma Ward, a.k.a. Landfill."
"Why aren't you shouting and beating the wall down? There's no way you need to be in here."
"That is a lovely sentiment, Max Halloran. Hal X, right? Yeah. Heard of you, vaguely. Big mouth, I heard."
"Among other things,"
said Max, cracking a smile at last.
"How old are you, Max?"
23.
"Same as me. Only I look 53, don't I? It's all right. I'm past being upset by my wrinkles and grey hair. Let me tell you a little secret. You're feeling okay because you believe you'll get out of here. When you realise you won't, that's when the shouting starts."
"But that doesn't explain why you're in here now. I get some of the others, but look at you."
"Good days, bad days, and mood stabilisers," said Diana. "They give us heaters too, but you have to be in here to get the treatment, and believe me, I needed it. My mistake was thinking they'd let me go when I was stable again. Probably tells you how deluded I'd become."
"No. Never going to happen, was it?"
Diana smiled.
"Well, I'm hardly an advert for hunter-killer pilot recruitment, am I? I don't think I could cope on the outside now. Anyway, I'm a research case, more useful to them here than out there. A lab rat, one in luxurious surroundings for a behemoth."
"They can't do that."
"Who's stopping them? We're where we are. No one can visit us, and we're so drugged half the time we can barely recall our names, let alone the affront to human rights that we represent."
Max couldn't take it in. Everything he'd heard suggested no one went into landfill until they were well into the decline. Although Muller was already interested in Killarney, so perhaps all he'd heard was wrong.
"But you're, you know, sane. Why can't you protest? Surely someone will listen."
"I'm having a good day today, and the balance seems to be right. But it might not be like that tomorrow. Tomorrow I could be like Sarkovich or poor little Franny over there."
She pointed at two of the occupied beds.
"And even if I did protest, who's listening? Who cares? I'm here for the greater good. There's no danger of our protests being heard or leaked out, even if we voice them. Can't have anyone learn the truth. Can't put off the recruits."
"But they are trying to cure you, right?"
Another voice cut across the conversation, male this time, gruff and full of phlegm.
"Of course they bloody aren't. Why spend time trying to reverse something that don't need reversing and killing us all in the process? Can't change evolution, brother."
"What's he talking about?"
"The truth,"
said Diana.
"But no one listens to us. We're insane, apparently."
She rolled her eyes and flapped her hands. Max smiled.
"I'm listening."
"Hey, Leech,"
called Diana to the man.
"You solid?"
"Fucking legs stopped working, and I'm freezing. Hot-head, but not hot enough to move the old pins. Yeah, I'm solid, my Grecian goddess of love."
"He's a real charmer,"
said Diana quietly.
"Luckily his paralysis stops him acting out the cruder of his fantasies. Mind you, I've paid him a visit every now and again. The treatments do amazing things for your libido."
"That's the awful truth. Full drugs make you desperate for sex."
Diana barked a laugh.
"It's the best and worst side effect."
"So what is the truth? You want me to guess?"
"No. She wants me to tell you. Saying the words gives her the shakes.
said Leech. Apparently even thinking about it was enough to make Diana's hands shake. Her smile was suddenly thin and fragile.
"Good days and bad days," she said. "Sometimes on the same day."
She turned back to her book without another word, though her hands were shaking enough that reading must surely be difficult. Max looked over at Leech, who still sat in the same place. He looked awful. Pasty skin, a bad case of the shakes, and straggly blonde hair, most of which had fallen out. He could pass for 50, but he was probably no more than mid-20s. He saw Max staring.
"Treatment does it," he said. "Ages you faster than a drake can fly. I could do with some help getting into bed. I'm cold, brother."
"Sure." Max patted Diana's twitching legs and walked round to Leech's bed. He was already shuffling himself towards his pillows, and Max moved his legs up onto the mattress and helped him under the sheets.
"All right."
"Thanks, brother."
He held out a shaking hand, which Max grasped in both of his. It was warm to the point of sweaty.
"Dylan Leech, Fleamhawk G. I know who you are. I was listening."
"Good to meet you. That's two of you in here who are pretty, you know..."
"Sane? Lucid?"
Leech nodded.
"Bit of a coincidence, eh? Not."
Leech had wide, wild eyes, and his smile was unsettling. Perhaps sane was an exaggeration. He stared at Max for a long blink. Eventually, Max shrugged.
"Go on, then. Spill it."
"Where to start?"
He eyed Max suspiciously.
"Can I trust you?"
"Well, I've been dumped in here because I called Kirby a lying sack of shit. Does that help?"
"Whoa. You know you're never getting out of here, right?"
"Why not?"
"They must already think you sus too much. I'm about to tell you the rest. If they were going to let you go, they wouldn't let us talk to you, brother."
Max had to fight to ignore that logic, and to remain believing Valera and Inferno X would see him safely back to the squadrons.
"Then there's no harm in telling me everything, is there?" he said.
"Guess not."
He reached out and gripped Max's shoulders.
"The fall don't kill you."
"Bullshit. I saw it happen yesterday. Drake fell right out of the sky. Bang."
"That's only because the poor unfortunate was in the air when they fell. Listen, you don't have to believe me. I'm in the fall now, right? Talking rubbish and descending to gibber and drool. It's okay, I get it. But you're going to find out I'm right. When you've begun the fall proper, it's taking you from your Drake makes you sick, and the drugs they give you in here speed you along Graveyard Road."
Max shook his head.
"No, it's not like that. They take over your mind until you're not you anymore. We all know that, and we still fly. We all want to believe anything that would let us fly for longer, but the facts are the facts."
"No, that's what they want you to believe. When you get in here, you know it's a lie because of all the things you heard and felt before they put you in here. And you should worry, because they will treat you even though you ain't sick yet, because they need you to get sick to prove their lie."
Max swallowed hard.
"They can't do that to me."
"You heard, Diana. They can do whatever the fuck they want. You do believe me, don't you?"
"About what?"
"About the fall."
"I don't know what to believe anymore."
"Well, you have to believe me," said Leech. "Look at me. Look at Diana. Not quite as mad as you assumed we'd be, eh? That's proof, that is. The fall's not a disease, brother. It's progress."
"What?"
"They link our minds and our bodies," said Leech. "The Drakes know it. They soothe our minds when the change starts, and the heaters keep our bodies on the level. They talk to us, tell us it's going to be all right."
"So why did I see a pilot fall yesterday? Explain that."
Leech shrugged.
"You can't refuse to fly. Just bad timing, I guess."
Max wanted to laugh right in Leech's face, tell him he sounded exactly as insane as everyone assumed those in landfill were. But there was such belief in him. His eyes shone with it. The poor man was completely lost. Wasn't he?
Drakes can't talk.
It was all Max could find to say.
Yes, they can,
whispered Diana, making Max start.
It starts with empathy, sharing their emotions. But to begin with, you don't believe it. You think it's you going insane, but really, it's the beginning. You and your Drake becoming like one.
That's just a myth, said Max quietly. You know that deep down, right?
I know that's what I used to think, said Diana.
But you don't know, and we do, said Leech, his tone impatient. Why is it so hard to believe? You feel your Drake all the time, and we saw what happened to you just now. It's no stretch for the emotions to become words and images you can understand.
What do they tell you?
Asked Max, hating himself for starting to believe them.
Leech glanced at Diana, who had retreated back into herself, her shaking hands, and her book.
That the only way you'll both survive is to go through the fall.
No way. They tested it in the early days. Every jockey died with the Drakes, every time. No one's mind or body is strong enough.
Then they researched it wrong. You'll know it for sure when they re-engineer your Drake. The pain, brother. What you felt just now was like a splinter in your hand. It's like someone ripping out a part of you, because that's just what they're doing. And you know your link with your Drake? That's what they steal from you when you get in here. So what does your mind and body in, and sends you into a tailspin to the grave?
Leech whistled and whirled his fingers, crashing them into his sheets to illustrate his words. Max was battling hard to maintain a sense of balance. Everything Leech said would mark him as losing his mind, but he said it with such clarity, such passion, it was hard not to believe him.
Why don't you tell them, make them do the research?
You think we haven't?
Said Diana.
We know what's going on here, the other agenda, having lab rats.
Yeah, but Leech said they were trying to reverse the effect in you. Surely that's an attempt to cure you.
No,
said Diana, and there were tears on her cheeks.
Just to find ways to keep you flying for longer when the first symptoms of the fall start.
Max shook his head.
You're wrong on this one, really. I mean, the only drug that works is heaters, right? And it's illegal. That's going to apply to anything that blocks the fall. They're too scared of the consequences of apparent sudden onset.
The thought brought Kalani to mind, and he feared for her if he didn't get out, feared that she'd be in here with him all too soon.
Tell yourself what you like,
said Diana.
We were like you. Don't forget that. We believed the medics in here were soothing ruined minds. But we know what the drugs do. Trouble is, if we complain that we're lab rats, all that happens is the medics say we're paranoid.
I believe you,
Max found himself saying.
Yeah, it's a great side effect of our agonizing deaths, ain't it? So much experimentation and all measured through here.
Leech turned his head and pushed some of his remaining hair aside to reveal a chip embedded in the base of his skull behind his right ear. Max frowned.
And they've been doing this the whole war?
Suppose, said Leech, his shrug more of a shudder.
So what are they doing with all the data? I mean, unless I'm missing something, any research has led to absolutely fuck all legal treatment so far.
As soon as he said it, Max sucked in a quick breath.
Bloody hell.
Leech was staring at him, his eyes dancing in their sockets as he tried to maintain concentration.
You got clarity, brother?
Yeah. Just something someone said to me.
Max tried to recall everything Christina and the heater girls had told him. It all fitted together.
The black market drug makers and the ERC are colluding.
Wow, said Leech, his eyes steadying. There's more to all this than they'll ever let on, I reckon. Makes me wonder what really landed you in here. Got too close to something, didn't you?
They lied about our latest sentience upgrade, risking every pilot on my squad. I found out the truth. If that upgrade goes to every squad, it'll be 3 to a bed in here.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Max got up.
Where are you going?
I need to think. Decide if I believe everything you've told me.
I feel sorry for you, Max. You'll never experience the real joy. You'll never really become a pilot.
What are you on about? Leech's expression was almost happiness.
There's this moment, the breakthrough, when the voice in your head makes sense. It's the day the fear lifts, and you realize the heaters might have checked your symptoms, but didn't slow the change. And actually, that's just fine. But whoever invented heaters knew exactly what they were doing, and that if you and your Drake could only escape, you could become something greater than you ever imagined.
I have to get out of here, said Max. Max lay in his bed and stared at the images of Drakes on the ceiling. He had no idea what time of day it was, and that was unsettling for a military man for whom time and routine were everything. Well, routine anyway. He'd never been that great with time. A little while later, a medic came through the ward, dishing out food and drugs which those who were conscious had taken dutifully.
No point in not, Leech said grimly. Well, they knock you out and give you them anyways.
Do the pills help?
Sometimes, Leech said, and then turned his attention to the medic. You know there's nothing wrong with him, right?
The medic said nothing, but paused fractionally as he administered an injection to one of the more advanced cases.
Come on, Barney. You're a proper human. Not like some of the twats you work with. Can you really let a fit man get ruined? I'm telling you, you'll never sleep properly again.
Barney's big frame stiffened, and his friendly brown eyes flicked to Max. He gave Max a long look, before moving on, his movements less assured. It wasn't much, but it was something. Max refused food and drink, mistrustful of what they might be concealing, and when Barney left, he wandered around his new home instead. It was impressive, he gave it that. There were places to sit in peace among plants and water features, a small library, a vidscreen and film library, hydrotherapy pool, a music room, and 3 well-appointed single rooms. They were all occupied, and Max realized they were also fully soundproofed. The glimpse he got of the inmates was profoundly depressing. Max's bed seemed the safest place to stay, though he guarded himself against sleep. He monitored the quiet whirring of cameras moving and zooming in and out, trying to gauge if there was a pattern. He noted the passage of medics in and out, sometimes with guards, more often without. He was hungry and thirsty, and he used the discomfort to keep him sharp, as he did on a long return leg from a sortie. The moment he thought about the joy of flying, and that it would be denied him forever, despair hit him like falling rock. It crushed him, and his calm, and focus. His future was gone. He'd be forced to endure being killed slowly and painfully in the name of research.
Get it now, don't you, Max? Said Diana from the gloom.
Yeah, said Max. I get it. I have got to get out of here. Put all this straight for all of us.
That's just a dream, said Diana.
I don't dream. I do. I'm Max fucking Halloran.
It was probably the first time real laughter had been heard in landfill. Valera had forbidden all talk of Max during the sortie. Closed squad comm or not, if the brass really wanted to listen in, they could. She'd issued a no-deviation standard landing procedure order, but had felt the weight of discontent. God knew she wanted to make a statement too, but now was not the time. Once they were all showered, their suits washed and hung, and their energy drinks and pills downed, they gathered in the squad room, with the hog's comm disabled, and the whole dorm swept for bugs. It was useful to have an electro head like Calder on the squad sometimes.
You're wasted as a pilot, said Gurney.
You're so right, said Calder. I often dream of building my own super robot so I can crush your puny lizards and mince your skulls inside the scaly remains.
You're a freak, said Redfern. And you are right to fear me, mortal.
Let's get to it, said Valera. Moan away, and then I'll tell you why everything I did was right, and everything you wanted to do was wrong.
We should have made a statement on the flight deck, said Kalani. Lined up in front of Martha's pen and stared until the gallery fell down. Something to let them know we won't accept this.
We should have refused to fly without him, said Stepanek. He stood up for us, and we have to support him.
Stepanek's right, said Gurney. Flying without Max is wrong.
We don't even know where he is, said Redfern.
It stinks, Skipper, and we're doing nothing, said Monteith.
Valera heard them all out before she spoke.
I'm as angry as you are, but we have to be careful. I love your idea, Risa, but all it does is draw unwanted attention. Stepanek, if we strike, they can hit us with insubordination, and then we can't help Max. Reds, I agree. We have to know what we're up against. We know Muller took a data dump from the pen today. That's the first step to grounding him and re-engineering Martha. I hope it's just a threat.
She paused to consider her next words.
Look, I'm in a horrible position here, and if I haven't misjudged him, Muller's in a worse one. However fucked up it seems to be, we have to respect the chain of command. Max is wherever the hell he is because he didn't. While we should never overestimate our importance, we are Inferno X. If the exec won't give us Max back, we'll leak everything we know and let the backlash do the job for us.
Valera stopped talking at a sharp hand gesture from Selevsky, who was positioned closest to the dorm door.
Got a visitor, she said.
There was a decisive rap on the door, and Valera nodded to Selevsky to let whoever it was in. It was relief that quickly became concern when they saw Grimm's face.
It's Max, she said. They've put him in landfill.
The silence was complete enough that they could hear the heart of granite breathe.
They've fucking what? Growled Stepanek.
Are you sure?
Asked Valera, feeling cold all over. Grimm nodded.
A mate up in medical saw them taking him in. There's nothing to stop them now, is there? They could take Martha and leave Max to rot. What's going on, Skipper?
Right.
Valera stood up.
This is a clear breach of crew rights, detention regulations, and charge protocol. And I can take it to the XO. I'm sure he'll be expecting me.
Want some backup? Asked Stepanek. I mean, he's dumped one of us in there.
Valera nodded into the calls of support for Stepanek's idea.
Witnesses are a good idea. Montz, Pallon, Calder, Gurney, you're with me. Stepanek, you're in charge in my absence. Sit tight, and don't say a word about Max until I find out why the hell he's in there in the first place. And I shudder to think of the lie I'm about to be told. Grimm, give Martha the most detailed brushing and cleaning she's ever had. Keep her fed, too. Know what I mean?
Sure thing, Skipper, said Grimm.
Reds, Xavier, probably time you had one-to-ones with your flight crew. Make sure they keep eyes on Martha too, okay?
Any of you wondering if there's more to the Marshal Jen's visit than meets the eye?
Asked Neville.
Could be a coincidence, said Pallon.
I'm a Drake pilot, said Valera. I don't do coincidences.
Chapter 20. When criticized about the way countries were invited to join United Europa, the first president-elect, Maria Deschamps, was reported as saying, "We were fair, and we offered them a choice. Join on our terms, or be invaded." I'd love that to be true. Alexandra Solomon, Marshal General, United Europa Joint Forces. The door to Kirby's quarters was open, and he was behind his desk when Valera walked in. He nodded, as if he'd been expecting her, and gestured her to the seat in front of his desk. She shook her head curtly.
"Close the door behind you, at least," he said.
"I've got some of my squad out there. I want them to hear us."
Kirby shrugged.
"Bring them in."
Valera waved her people in, and they arranged themselves around the wall, Calder closing the door behind her.
"I won't tolerate interruptions," said Kirby. "Only Orin speaks. Squadron leader, when you're ready."
"First of all, I accept that Max was out of line to come to you."
out of line does not scratch the surface of his insubordination or his unfounded accusations. It did illustrate his state of mind, though.
Valera paused, wondering what Kirby meant by that last statement.
Nonetheless, Max Halloran is being held in the chronic neural trauma ward, which is not a designated detention area for non-medical cases. It breaches 7 articles of Halloran's rights to counsel, pre-hearing visits, and living conditions. He must be released from the ward immediately.
For a moment, Valera thought Kirby was going to applaud her.
Your grasp of regulations is second to none.
It's always an advantage to be well informed. Release my pilot, sir.
And that's why I always am.
He tapped his screen twice, and Valera's peepalm beeped an incoming message.
Max Halloran is in landfill because he's going through the fall.
Bullshit.
The quartet behind her gasped, and Kirby fired a warning glance in their direction.
Read the tech debrief. It includes vids of Halloran. Perhaps you'd like to see them now?
Kirby turned his screen and tapped an icon to show 2 short clips. One was of Max in tears, staring into space. Another was of him clutching his head and shouting, though there was no audio.
These are out of context, sir. I'd shout and scream too, if I were in there for no reason. If you maintain he's going through the fall, then I demand a retest, which I will attend.
Don't make me laugh, Orin. We both know what any retest will reveal.
Valera dug her nails into her palms.
Are you implying, in front of these witnesses, that the result is predetermined?
Kirby leaned back in his chair.
I'm implying nothing of the kind. But tread carefully. Your new upgrade has thrown up some very interesting data. Makes a few of you borderline cases already.
Valera waved a hand at her pilots for quiet, while fighting for control herself.
Please don't threaten us, sir. You may not place a pilot in landfill without following the proper legal procedures. Hence, I will be bringing charges against you for these breaches. I will be taking this matter to higher authorities as a matter of extreme urgency.
Kirby shrugged.
Go ahead, Orin. You have the file. I'll even set up appointments for you. Who would you like to see? Avery? Solomon? It won't help. Whatever you think you know about the upgrade and its mind-shielding issues, it will not become shipwide knowledge. It will roll out to other squads. Don't risk ending up like Halloran.
Valera shook her head and hoped Calder's device was recording the whole conversation.
This is only the start. I'm getting Max back, and I'm coming for you unless you come clean about the mind-shielding you promised us.
There are some things you should understand, said Kirby, unfazed by Valera's charges. Drake pilots are the most talented of the lower ranks, and you have tough contracts, but ultimately you have no real power or influence. You are military personnel, and you will follow orders or be suspended for insubordination. Get back to your pit, Orin. You can file your charges from there. They will be given full consideration in due course. Inferno X is confined to quarters and on comms lockdown until the attack on the Maputo. Dismissed.
The lights were up, the fountains were on, and the piped music was playing. The Heart of Granite was moving, so the day's sorties hadn't begun yet. It was most likely still early, because the granite didn't travel too much in the heat of the day, preferring night travel despite the chill making the beast a little sluggish of mind. Heart of Granite Command could then let her bask, with her solar panels glittering and outer armour retracted when the sun was high. Max yearned to be with his squad. It was another punch to his bruised spirit. He still hadn't eaten, but he'd drunk from the fountain. It was stale and recycled, but probably free of drugs, and he was in a recliner in the garden, sifting through potential escape plans, when Leech's coughing alerted him to a visitor. Max had been wrestling with the problem of the only door out. Whenever it was open, it was guarded by at least 2 orderlies, often 3. Three was too many for Max to both surprise and take down. Two was marginal, at best. He'd dismissed taking a medic hostage. His only realistic chance was to rush the guards and get clear, which was insanely risky. Or plead with Barney, who was the most likely candidate to give him some help. The trouble was, landfill was for sick and desperate pilots. No doubt there had been escape attempts before. Max was expecting the visitor to be a medic, but the harsh voice demanding his whereabouts told him it was Hewitt, no doubt come to crow. Kirby's tow rag sauntered in, flanked by Mips. He fingered plant leaves and dipped his fingers in the fountain pool, shaking them extravagantly when he removed them and scattering drips everywhere. He smelled his fingers.
"I wouldn't drink that. It stinks,"
he said, walking over towards Max.
"Still, desperate times and all that."
"Anything you wouldn't do is automatically a good thing," said Max, putting his hands behind his head. "Make yourself comfortable, Hewitt. Take the weight off all that bruising."
"You're not looking so pretty yourself,"
said Hewitt, remaining standing.
"You punch like a child," said Max. "What do you want?"
"Just checking you're enjoying your new home and making friends. Not that they'll remember your name for too long. Mind you, neither will you."
"Fuck off, Hewitt. I'm busy."
Max's brain was wired with Hewitt's words, and his pulse raced. Bloody hell.
"So I can see. I also have some news."
Max shrugged.
"Time's almost up, Halloran. We're just a couple of signatures away from re-engineering your Drake. Martha, isn't it? How sweet that you named her. Soon she'll be a blank brain and so much malleable muscle for a new pilot."
Max clung to his calm.
"And you think that will anger me? You need Martha for a new pilot. Make sure it's someone worthy of her scales."
"It's tough, you know. Without the proper medical withdrawal process, when we wipe your scaly girlfriend, your brain will suffer enough trauma to kick you into terminal decay. Hard way to go."
Max smiled and met Hewitt's eyes for the first time.
"I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to come and find you."
Hewitt curled his lip.
"You still haven't grasped it, have you, Max? You're in here. You're already dead. Maybe this will help you understand. It'll be in everyone's inbox in a couple of days. It's rather good, I think."
Hewitt took a square of paper from his thigh pocket, unfolded it, and laid it on Max's chest.
"Perhaps someone can help you with the big words."
"You get funnier every day."
Max picked up the paper, and his sneer fell from his face. Hewitt was already halfway towards the door as Max let the paper drop. He didn't need to read past the headline. "Top pilot in full shock. Tragically early exit for call sign Hal X, the finest ever Inferno Jock. An obituary by squadron leader Valera Orin." Standard procedure, he knew, but it struck him hard.
"I will not die in here," he whispered. "Don't forget me, Skipper."
Valera led the team back towards the squad dorm. The pace of events was cranking up, and one slip now could mean Max and Martha were lost forever.
"Reds, get everyone back to the squad rack. Calder, clean up that recording and hide copies absolutely bloody everywhere. I'll join you shortly. I need to see Muller. And none of you say a word to anyone about anything. Got it?"
At the base of the neck, Valera headed towards flight command, dropping down through the decks to enter the flight deck area as publicly as possible. Kirby would assume she'd try and see Muller, and she'd hate to disappoint the XO. She walked across the center of Flight Deck Alpha, climbing the stairs to flight command. Even from a distance, she could see Muller's office was empty.
"Hey, Yareth, where is he?"
she demanded of his assistant, a perpetually harassed-looking young man who was unbelievably efficient and destined for great things in military administration.
"Got a call, then headed out looking angry," said Yareth,
barely looking up from his screen.
"Damn it, why do people think his every free moment needs to be filled with a meeting? See this? Monthly debrief on moral and ethical standards adherence. For fuck's..."
"My heart bleeds. When will he be back? I need to see him urgently."
"It was the Exo who called him. They had a fraught conversation, then he hurried off. Apparently that shouldn't surprise you."
Valera sighed.
"No, it doesn't. But when will he be back?"
"Soon, I hope."
"I'm back," said Muller from behind Valera. "Come into my office."
Valera followed him in and closed the door behind her. Through the glass wall panels, she could see the eyes of at least half the Flight Command staff on the office. She wondered how much they knew and how much was still just rumour.
"I need your support," said Valera before Muller had reached his desk. "Kirby is holding Max in landfill in breach of 5 separate regulations. You cannot let that stand."
Muller held up his hands.
"Let's take this one step at a time, all right? It's a complex situation."
"It's a simple issue of false imprisonment, sir."
Muller pointed at various icons on his screen while he spoke.
"There's the tech debrief report and brain pattern assessment saying he's begun the fall. There's confronting a senior officer within his own quarters and making wild accusations. There's vid. It's compelling stuff."
"It's complete fiction. Just like your promise to include shielding on the latest upgrade. Kirby has confirmed we aren't getting it because it's actually impossible to retrofit. Presumably he expects us to die in the pouch before any charges against him are considered. Again and again he's lied to us. And to you, sir."
Muller punched up the tech debrief and scanned it.
"Kirby told me you dropped by. You're not doing yourself any favours by bringing charges against him. But of course, you know that."
"What should I do? Sit back while Kirby destroys the Hog's best pilot and Drake? Not to mention Max is a personal friend of mine. Not to mention he's my fucking pilot. Not to mention he's your fucking pilot. Why won't you look at me? He sentenced me and my squad to death into the bargain. Has he got to you as well?"
"I resent that remark, Squadron Leader."
Muller looked up from the screen.
"Max is a valuable member of the flight team, and I have not turned my back on him."
"So what are you doing? You took the data point reading from Martha's pen, sir. It certainly looks like you've turned your back on us."
"It's protocol to take a data point comparison when pilots behave erratically, whether they return to duty or not. You know that."
"With respect, sir, you're hiding behind regulations. It's time to decide what you really care about, your crew or your bosses."
"It's not that simple."
"Yes, it is. Pick Solomon and the XO, and Max will die in landfill. Then, inevitably, so does the rest of IX. Pick Max, and no one knows you gave me anything. You know Max isn't falling."
Muller held her gaze. He said nothing, and she understood that he couldn't. But he closed the data file and rubbed his hands together.
"I understand you're being confined to your squad rooms. You'd better go."
"Tough course you're navigating, sir," said Valera. "Don't let the tide push you onto the rocks. Max needs you. IX needs you."
Muller rubbed a hand across his clean-shaven chin.
"I will do everything in my power to secure Max's release, but it doesn't look good. The evidence against him appears solid. The signatories are in place, and the wheels of Drake decommissioning are ready to roll. If you or your squad take preemptive action, you're liable to end up in there with him."
"Kirby is lying, sir. And he laid that threat at my door too, and I simply don't believe it. At least force a retest. Max is entitled to it, and protocol requires one now I've requested it."
Muller nodded, and the ghost of a smile crossed his lips.
"Leave that with me. I'll see it happens."
"Don't leave us wandering in the squad room," said Valera.
If you're right, and the evidence against Max is fabricated, then his allegations still have to be contained and dealt with by the executive. I will not have my pilots inciting a riot on this behemoth. Do you understand?
How long I keep my counsel depends on Max's chances.
Muller nodded.
Fair enough. Dismissed.
Sir.
Valera walked through the bustle and noise on the Heart of Granite. There were more MIPs on duty than normal, or maybe Valera was just more sensitive to them. Every man and woman on duty seemed to be watching her. Gargans was already busy. She lost herself in the crowd for a moment, seeing life on the behemoth going on as normal, and it made her angry. It was weird to experience clarity in a stew of alcohol, thumping music, and a press of bodies. Just a couple of days ago, they'd celebrated victory over the Sambas and seeing the Marshal Jen safely aboard. Now, their world had gone to shit. She had no choice but to trust Muller for now. But would he do anything when push came to shove? Valera was skeptical. While there were no MIPs actually guarding the squad rack, there might as well have been. Valera smiled sweetly at the pair leaning against the corner of a corridor a few meters up. It was a pathetic attempt at nonchalance.
"If you're being all undercover and stuff, at least wear casual clothes," she called.
The moment she opened the door, she was greeted by angry voices from the wreck. She blew out her cheeks and listened for a few moments.
"Half of them would join us in a strike," said Redfern.
"Wouldn't matter if they did," said Navon. "A strike? You're dreaming. They'd shoot the lot of us rather than tolerate a walkout."
"They wouldn't dare," said Monteith. "Take out half the Drake squads? I don't think so."
"Mons is right," said Redfern. "They won't line us up, but one by one we'd all end up like Max. There has to be another way."
"Storm the med center, like I said," said Stepanek. "Get a guard on Martha, too. Get Max back."
"You're all missing the point," said Gurney. "The exec is set against Max. We're watched, so is Martha. Some big gesture might make us feel better, but if we want to help Max, we have to be a whole lot smarter and more subtle."
A chorus of shouts poured scorn on Gurney's words.
"Enough."
Valera walked into view, her presence inspiring instant quiet.
"So this is Revolution Central, is it?"
she asked.
There was a smattering of awkward laughter. "I wish I had good news to report, but I don't. First, secure all thoughts of an uprising. Muller has agreed to try and force Max's release. He's going down the retest route. Meanwhile, hard though it is, we have to sit tight and wait. But that doesn't mean we can't plot our endgame."
There were various grudging grunts of agreement.
"Then gather round, and let's see."
"So she came to you too?"
Kirby marched into Muller's office despite the closed door and the meeting he was holding with his senior staff.
"Your meeting's over. Get out."
Muller was sitting at the head of his table and had his back to Kirby. He made sure his people saw his expression before nodding. He stayed seated.
"Last one out. Close the door."
When he heard the click, he pushed back his chair and stood. Kirby was by his desk, drumming his fingers on the edge, impatient and irritable. A normal day for him, then.
"You will never speak to me in front of my staff in that manner again. I do not report to you, I do not tug my forelock to you, and I do not appreciate being dragged into the great pit of dung you're digging."
Kirby cleared his throat and strode towards the gallery windows overlooking the quiet flight deck.
"Did she come to you?" he asked again.
"Take a wild guess," said Muller, not joining him. "How do you plan to deal with it?"
"It's done. Halloran is finished."
Muller adopted a neutral expression.
"So Solomon, Markov, and Avery have all signed off on effective murder of our finest ever Drake pilot?"
"The Marshal General and the President agree that the issues at stake outweigh the loss of one pilot."
Muller raised his eyebrows.
"And in doing so, you will earn the mistrust of Inferno X, the undying hatred of Valera Orin, and every squadron leader fearing being undermined." I could go on, but that little list describes a behemoth's exec failing in its core duty, and all because you lied without thought of a likely result of its inevitable exposure. Why didn't you come to me?
I don't need your agreement, said Kirby, a sneer on his face.
Not for my agreement, you idiot. For advice from the only man on the exec who knows how to handle pilots. You sat in the meeting and you lied to me, to Avery, and to Valera. You made me repeat a lie to Inferno X, and as a result, a dangerous and untested upgrade is in place. And instead of admitting your error, you've made Max a scapegoat to keep everyone else in line. Didn't work, did it? You should have come to me.
Kirby's face was all belligerent outrage.
All right. And what do you suggest, in your wisdom?
I'm ordering a retest on Max, and it will prove he isn't falling.
Muller held up his hand to still Kirby's protestation.
You cannot prevent me from doing so. Sell it to Max as a change of heart. Get him on side. Try a little honesty. You'll be amazed how often that works. Don't toss him on the scrap heap because he knows a truth.
Are you kidding?
Kirby's face was incredulous.
The boy's a flying genius with a big mouth and a little knowledge. And that's a poisonous combination, especially when he's just discovered a few principles. He can't keep his mouth shut, and I do not want 100 angry Drake pilots lining up outside my door, demanding answers I cannot give them. You're being naive, Muller, and even if you weren't, it's out of our hands.
No, it isn't. He's our pilot on our behemoth. I don't care who's exerting pressure, this isn't happening. You need to stop it.
Kirby shook his head.
There's a world outside the granite, and Max made too much noise. Solomon and Corsini want him silenced. So go get your retest. It won't change a thing. We're fighting a war, and sometimes it requires unpalatable decisions and dangerous conditions. We have to win, and win fast. No one can get in the way of that.
I used to think there was more to you than this, said Muller.
And he felt genuinely sad at the death of their friendship.
You've become exactly what you used to decry.
We all have our masters. Yours is Avery, mine is further up the chain. I can live with that.
Muller felt a chill run down his spine.
Avery doesn't know about Halloran's situation, does she? The truth, I mean. How did you pull that off?
Kirby's face was stone.
Commander Avery is aware that Halloran is going through the fall, so has reluctantly signed the necessary releases. It would be a grave mistake for anybody to give her any contrary information now or in the future.
Wow, said Muller. Drawing up battle lines, aren't we?
Move on, said Kirby. This is finished. We're re-engineering Halloran's Drake tomorrow, as soon as her digestive tract is empty. Max has his first treatment at pretty much the same moment.
You'll burn for this, said Muller.
I doubt that. You've picked the wrong side. I'm sure the undying respect of your pilots helps you sleep, but you should be looking ahead. When the war is done, who's going to reward you for your loyalty to them?
Chapter 21. The need for alternative energy changed the global landscape. Wind harvesters ploughed the heavens, their kilometers-long cables tethering them to earthbound batteries. Every roof glittered with solar panels. Coasts were awash with tidal generators. But biofuels could not hold sway in the fields when so many billions needed food. The war began for land. Land to feed your own, and damn the rest. Professor Julia Nichols, When the Earth Stopped Giving. It was plain none of the squad trusted him, and Muller was comfortable with that, or so it looked to Valera. The MIPS would report it, but there were 100 reasons for him to visit a squad in isolation.
It meant Inferno X could see his eyes. Valera was quietly impressed, but she regarded him with a healthy suspicion nonetheless.
"Get Flight Commander Muller a coffee, Stepanek."
"How do you take it, sir?"
asked Stepanek.
"White, no sugar," said Muller.
Valera indicated a chair.
"Take a seat, sir."
Muller sat and was followed by the rest of the squad, crowding close and staring at him like he was a zoo exhibit. Stepanek handed him his coffee, and Valera could see that Muller was not about to deliver positive news. It was just a question of how bad.
"So, we're honoured," said Valera. "You know that fraternizing with Inferno X currently carries a health warning."
"I think I'm already infected by implication."
He sipped his coffee, nodding appreciatively, though it was sure to be as crap as everyone else's. Then he set it down.
"Listen closely. I trust you all, and I want your confidence in return. Your friend and my pilot, Max Halloran, is in deep, deep trouble, and all official channels to help him are closed. All file work is complete. There is nothing I can do. At dawn tomorrow, assuming the data point calculations are correct, his Drake will be re-engineered. That is all the time we have to save both Drake and pilot."
"So we break him out," said Stepanek into the shocked silence. "Storm the fucking place."
"And what then?" said Muller quietly. "He'll be a fugitive, and you'll all be criminals. Think what would happen to all of you."
"Then we strike. Other squads will support. Show Kirby we won't fight until Max is freed," said Redfern.
"And what then?" repeated Muller. "Kirby's orders are still carried out, and one by one you're all disciplined for insubordination. Only the strike against the Maputo is keeping us from beelining to the Vermelho Sea right now for a regeneration cycle. If you strike, we'll pass the Maputo baton to the Steelback, the Flinthorn, and the Ironclaw. Then, what leverage do you have? You'll destroy yourselves and Inferno X. This is still a war."
Valera found herself fighting a rising despair, and Muller's deconstruction of their options merely deepened it.
"We have to do something," she whispered. "What can we do?"
"Tread carefully. I am neither deaf nor blind on this behemoth, much as our exo loves to think I am. Max has the very slightest opportunity, and he'll have to see it and act on it. If he does, he'll need help. Any contacts you have need to be ready to make him disappear in about 3 hours.
"We can do that," said Valera. "What is it that you know, sir?"
"Best not to ask that question."
Muller smiled.
"We're relying on Max a whole lot here. None of us can be seen helping him. He has to seize the moment and take the risk for himself. Think he'll deliver?"
"Now, let's see," said Monteith. "Max doing something for himself and himself alone. Will he deliver? That's a tough one."
Laughter ran around the squad room and the tension eased. Redfern high-fived Monteith.
"All right. I've said all I can. Spread the word and sit tight, Inferno X. None of you is to leave this squad room."
Muller stood up and drained his coffee.
"I should have seen it coming."
"What's that, sir?"
asked Valera, sensing something of weight was about to come their way. Muller thought for a moment before deciding to continue.
"The politics of war. Election day is a year and a half away. If the war's still on, then Corsini loses. Never mind this incident. Watch for whatever's coming down the line in the next few months. I told Max that not every battle would be fought in the sky. I should have listened to myself."
"What about the retest, sir?" asked Valera. "Won't that help?"
Muller cleared his throat.
"How do I put this delicately? No one who matters cares a damn about its results.
Valera felt sick to her stomach.
How can that be?
It's for another day. Get Max out first, then we can turn to IX's situation. Right now, no other squad has been upgraded, but I'm not sure how long I can hold back the tide.
What's happening, sir? Asked Kalani.
People really want you to take down the Maputo. That's what's happening. Making that happen might be the only way to save all of your lives.
He nodded to them, turned and strode to the dorm door, which slammed behind him with an impressive echo. Valera scanned the squad.
Before everything else, and boy is there a lot of that, let's set this up. Anyone with any useful Blammer contacts, come to me. I've got the odd favour to call in myself. And use squad encryption for anything you send by peepalm. You never know who's watching.
Leech lay in his bed and wished it wasn't so cold. He was uncomfortable. There were echoes in his head, voices he chased but could never quite catch up. He thought it was his Drake, still out there somewhere but muzzled. It was the most painful thing, knowing it was alive but knowing he would never know the mind touch again. It made his head hurt and his legs cold and dead. He remembered feeling quite excited when Max arrived. Max listened, and Max believed. That made Leech feel good, something that had been in short supply. Trouble was, now he had nothing new to tell Max, and that made him uncomfortable, because Max was still here. So he focused on the big, empty black space in his mind where his Drake had been, though he knew he shouldn't, and he felt a rush of blood across his vision, and it was chill and choking. The flames were inside him, and he craved the voice telling him it would all be all right. There was no one to tell him, only the echoes. There would never be someone, and the flames melted his eyes and boiled his cold blood, and he turned to dust in the fire, and he was falling so fast the flesh was torn from his body, and there was screaming in his ears, and it might have been his own, and there was nothing to calm him, and he would open his mouth and consume himself, and his death would be in never-ending agony, and...
Dylan...
So he cried because it wasn't the right voice, and his eyes opened all by themselves, and he shivered so hard he thought his eyes might fall out and his neck break, and in front of him wasn't his Drake like he craved, but it was Barney.
Dylan.
And Barney was standing over him, one gentle hand rocking his shoulder.
I'm sorry, Dylan, said Barney softly.
No, said Leech, desperately trying to surface.
You're right. I am a human being, and I don't want to live with guilt.
Leech had to search hard through his scattered mind to link up Barney's words with the memory.
That's great. He needs to go.
Talk into your hands. Some of them lip-read, remember?
Barney crouched down and held Leech's wrist as if taking his pulse. He put his mouth in close so he could whisper.
You need to remember this. I know you can, because you're not gone, not yet. But sometimes the deep dark won't let you go, will it?
Leech was aware tears were rolling down his face and onto his pillow, and he wasn't really sure why.
Am I awake?
Yes.
You're going to do something very important. More important than your last Drake mission. Okay.
Leech blew out a laugh on the back of a sob.
Liar! What's happening?
You don't like Max being here, do you?
And you feel guilty, said Leech, finally making the connection, and feeling some of the cloying cold blood drain from his mind, leaving him a little freer to think. Is he going, then?
Only with your help.
Barney shook a little pot he had in his free hand.
I'm going to give you your pills. Pretend to take them now. Actually take them later.
How much later?
When Max has gone.
Leech smiled.
I can do that.
I know it's hard when you wake up from the dark place, and I know it's harder to think when you don't have your pills, said Barney. But it's important you understand. Tell me, what happens if someone is cross with you?
It's okay,
because I always have my pills.
But what if you haven't had your pills?